Brethren, we live in dangerous times, in dangerous days. And people go on living as if everything is normal, and living as if, living in a virtual world, as if it's not actually there. People are experiencing life in ways that it's as if they're not actually living through it. So my question today is, are you ready for the events of this decade? You know, we've got video games, and through these video games, people are being conditioned to accept evil and not feel for evil as they should be. In other words, a world of divorcing ourselves from the reality. The other side, we have a cult-like worship of the so-called idols of music and whatever it is, fan clubs. And these, a lot of these people, are actual bad examples, for instance, as far as drugs and behavior. And our youth is emulating it. We really live in a world of strange ideas and ideologies, even political ideas, which are based on something which is actually not real. The real truth is not coming out. And yes, there's a lot of good deeds that you start a big campaign to donate for some cause, which is great, but the cause is not being addressed. It's purely addressing a little symptom here or there, but not really fixing the problem. So, whatever spectrum of society you look at it, whether it's entertainment, whether it's music, whether it's politics, it's based on lies, falsehoods. Now I want you to turn to a scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Now I know that the context is talking about the man of iniquity. And we will get to that a little later. We'll come back to this scripture a little later. But here at the end of verse 10, in 2 Thessalonians verse 10, says, that there's all this unrighteous deception. In other words, all this falsehood amongst people that are just dying. Why? Because people have not received the love of the truth. Now, I know that it's talking in a context of a religious false prophet. But the principle of this society is one that does not love the truth. And therefore, what we have a society wherein mankind is being conditioned to accept lies and not being able to discern the right from the wrong. Indeed, many, many years ago, we read that in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel was shown a number of things about the future. And then it refers to a time where Michael stands up at times still to come. But yeah, in Daniel chapter 12, it says there'll be great trouble. And Daniel wanted to know more. And he's told, hey, it's not the time for you to understand. Because the day will come when knowledge shall increase. Yeah, many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Brethren, knowledge has increased exponentially in the last few years, and has been increasing enormously in the last century or two. For instance, with the start of the invention of electricity, things have just escalated to a point that, for instance, even during the Second World War, there was the invention of nuclear power through the destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And now we live in this doctrine of mutual detente, you know, kind of holding one against another. But you know, the knowledge has increased. You and I would have not guessed a few years back that you would be holding a little device that, yes, it's a phone, but it's a torch, it's a compass, it's a map going anywhere around the world. You can see the temperature and the weather anywhere around the world. You can get mail. You can see people. You can talk to people. It's just, you would have not guessed. And brethren, this is only maybe in the last decade. Okay, maybe the phones have come up a little. But this degree of what you see in cell phones today, it's basically in the last 10 years. What about the next 10? We've started a new decade, 2020. What about the next 10? Now we have things like artificial intelligence. There was a man that was going around certain way and traveling, and he went into one area, another area, and then he came back to the States, and they said, you were in this area near where there's a coronavirus, and therefore you need to be whatever, quarantine or whatever it is. They say, how do you know? Because they got cameras everywhere. They can take, identify your face, and they can track you where you are with artificial intelligence today. You would have not guessed that a few years back. Then there is this thing called quantum computing. They say that one of these quantum computers, there's apparently Google's got one that have just developed, this quantum computer that does calculations in a matter of seconds, that the most super powerful computers will take 10,000 years to calculate. Now you put that with artificial intelligence and manipulating information about people and things like that, what is possible in the next 10 years? Knowledge shall increase. Wow, has knowledge increased? They're testing shops. They call them like a Google shop. That you can go there with your trolley and put this in a trolley, that in a trolley, the other thing in a trolley, and you walk out. You don't have to go through a cashier. Because it automatically identifies with some sort of a little chip, RFID chip, or whatever it is on those goods, and onto your cell phone with your, not your cell phone, your credit card with your RFID little chip, and automatically deduct that from your credit card. And you don't need to go through a teller. Those are prototypes today. They are actually in existence today. Imagine in 10 years. So, technologies are there that you can profile every single human being on earth. And you can see where they are, provided you've got enough cameras around. And you can know where they are at any moment. You don't need a chip being embedded into your brain or anything like that. They can pick it up. And then, we've got medical advances. Now, they are such that combining that with 5G technology. Now, what is 5G technology? Basically, it is the equivalent of you have the most powerful Wi-Fi downloading capabilities with practically no time difference between when you ask and when you receive it. Anywhere around the world. You can be in Doncaster, Africa, or in Amazon, because you're going to have satellites. They like every month, they're putting out satellites. Elon Musk, I think it is, putting out satellites at the region of about 20 or 30 a month out there, which are already 5G capable. So in a couple of years, you just switch this on, and provided you got cell phones which are 5G enabled, you'll be able to pick it up anywhere around the world. Am I being over whatever exaggerating? I don't think I am. I think things like this are pretty much on the verge of happening. Now, one of the technologies they're thinking of that is, if you have that response time without delay, you can have a doctor doing an operation on a computer in a specialized lab somewhere, for instance, in the Mayo Clinic, and you have a robot enabled to that in Afghanistan, right there on the front line, operating that individual with the doctor in a Mayo Clinic. And doing it just like that, because the response time is like this, so there's no delay. No wonder God said, when it was the Tower of Babel said, nothing will stop them when they have one language. Then there's another technology called CRISP. You may have not heard about it, but it's called CRISPR. Which is DNA or genome editing. They can take a portion of your DNA and put another portion into it. You do a Google search and you'll find it. It's there. And you can change an organism's DNA. For instance, they're working and testing and solving certain cancer cases with that. I think we're on the verge of enormous technological breakthroughs. Yes. Where is the evil? The evil is not on the knowledge, is on the use of that knowledge. You see, because in parallel with this, we've got an absolute, complete moral collapse. Morality has collapsed. And mankind is not able to discern or distinguish what is right and what is wrong. So they can actually do things which are pretty evil, and they'll obviously deny it that they've done. But it's amazing what they can do. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, there will be times, the Spirit expressly says, that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Brethren, there is a spirit of lies in the world today. And that's why I started by quoting 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 10, saying they do not love the truth. because it's a concept that goes beyond just the truth. It's a spirit, it's an attitude that is induced by Satan and his demons, and mankind is falling prey of it left, right, and center, and it's lies, starting from the attack on the family, attack on godly clean sex, attack on what is proper gender, and whatever extreme you want to look at it, it's all there. I don't have to itemize these things, you know it. But the problem is that this will spread out like fire. You see, you look at some of these fires in areas that are very dry. A lot of the fires have been started by people with malicious intent, by starting up a little thing. And because the grass is very dry, it's ripe, and the temperature is hot, it's ripe for the fire to just spread out. Think of it spiritually. Spiritually, it's like our minds are this dry grass ready to absorb this wickedness. And you just need that flame and it'll spark and explode at an extremely high speed. And I'm drawing this analogy to the carnal mind. Because the carnal mind is like that grass that is dry, that is ready to absorb every lie, provided it's for their own selfish desires and needs and passions. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. And you know what it says. You probably know it off by heart. But Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The mind is inclined to the things of the flesh. Flesh in Latin is basically carne, carnal mind, carne, things of the flesh. For instance, I dealt in my trip with people in Brazil. Some of them say, I can only get a job in March. I said, why? Because in Brazil, everything closes down from December onwards. Why? Well, because December, you have Christmas and all that stuff, and New Year, etc. January is when the companies say, well, it's a new year, fire people. February, nothing happens because it's getting ready for carnival. What's carnival? It's flesh, carn, flesh. It's the lust of the flesh before Lent. So go wild. In fact, in Rio, it's already kind of that spirit. Carnival will be towards the end of this month, but it's already declared carnival season. And so these people are saying, only in March, when all that is over, then we can start getting jobs. And when people start hiring. The human mind, the carnal mind, the mind set on the flesh, on carne, flesh, on the things of the flesh, is enmity against God, and indeed cannot be obedient to God's law. Brethren, this is nothing new. It's nothing new. Why? Because you can go back to the days of Adam and Eve. And Satan came to Eve and said, oh, God told you you can't die? He's lying. That's basically what he said. Because you can't die, you got an immortal soul. That's basically what he said. And then, but what God doesn't want you to see is that you're going to be like him. Well, that's a bit of truth, but it's mixed with lie, because he's saying, well, if you eat of this fruit. You see, there's lie, a bit of truth, a bit of lie. Satan is a master deceiver. And how is deception spread out? Mixing truth with lie. So it appears truth, but it's a lie. Now, if somebody was to give me a glass of water, and the water was pitch black, I would refrain from drinking it. But if the water looks nice and fresh, it is fresh. But if it had a drop of arsenic, I wouldn't be able to see it. But it would be poison. You see, Satan is a master of deceiving at different levels of deception. For some people, well, a little bit of dirt, that's okay. Then you can have this religion that's got a bit of dirt. The other one, it looks as near to God's as possible. But it's got a tiny bit of poison in it. It's still poison. He's a master of deception. Why? This poison is a little bit of lie. Therefore, it says, they do not love the truth. They do not love the truth. And so, what happened from Adam and Eve? Well, it propagated to their children. You look at the story of Cain. Cain decided by himself what is right and wrong. You know, that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I decide what's right and wrong. I don't believe and trust in God. God told him to offer him a certain specific sacrifice. Possibly because, I believe so, but I'll just say possibly because it pointed to Christ, so it had to be an animal blood sacrifice. Maybe it was even the Passover at that time already. And he chose to offer vegetables and fruit. And that is an insult to our Savior. And so God did not accept it. So Cain went around all, oh, poor me, nobody loves me, type of thing. You know what that is, you know, poor me, nobody loves me. Look at that in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If you do well, says God to him, will you not be accepted? I mean, God is not accepting some or not accepting others just because of your looks. No, God is saying, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. What? Sin? How do they know what sin is? Sin is a transgression of God's law, right? 1 John 3 verse 4. How do they know at the time of Cain and Abel what was sin? Because they knew. You see, God's law was not given only in Exodus 20 to the Israelites. It was given long before. And that's why in the Ten Commandments it says, remember the Sabbath. It doesn't say, oh well, yeah, yeah. The Sabbath was given even before Genesis 4, in Genesis 2. So all that goes back. So sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, as some says, it's against you. It's to destroy you. In other words, sin's desire is to kill you. The wages of sin is death. So sin's final outcome is yours and my death. It's desire of sin. It's against us. It's to destroy us. But you and I must rule over it. You and I have to overcome sin. You and I have to overcome the difficulties and the challenges of the carnal mind. As simple as that. But Satan says, oh no, it's okay. You decide what is right. And if you decide what is right, you can do it. in my visit to Brazil, I was visiting a person who was very interested. They invited a friend, and the friend brought this husband, and the husband was from a Sabbath-keeping organization, interesting enough. Not a Church of God organization, but a Sabbath-keeping organization. You probably know who it is, a well-known one. But anyway, he said, yeah, but... And he's from this organization that's supposed to keep the Sabbath. And he says, but you know, in Brazil, it's very difficult to keep the Sabbath. So God understands if you break the Sabbath. Because God is full of mercy and grace. He forgives. So I asked him, good question. Let me ask you. God forgives you, doesn't he? Yeah, forgives you. So therefore now, you can go and kill people. You can kill your wife. He kind of paused. I mean, it was as if he fell off his chair. And then after a longish pause, he says, well, but there's the cities of refuge and blah, 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 blah. So, anyway. And then, but it just shows the carnal mind. And then I said, and then I explained, you know, all right, there's a city of refuge, but that was unintentional. You know, there's a different story there. It's unintentional. Then I said, you know, and the point is now that you have repented. Yes, you repent. So if you repented, what does repent mean? Repent means you stop doing what you did. Otherwise, it's not repentance. It's worldly repentance, not godly repentance. So he was all agitated, and then he ended up leaving. And when he left, it was like a dark cloud left the room and was just so peaceful. And this lady that is doing baptism counseling with me over the internet, it was just so peaceful, and it was so nice, and it just went well. It just shows how we can identify these wrong spirits. Really, it's like day and night. And but I would not allow him to say things that are incorrect, because there was a member there, or a prospective member, that says, well, why doesn't the minister kind of, you know, put him in his place? And I did, respectfully, kindly, but... You know, he didn't have an argument with some simple... Because the technique is Christ's technique. You ask a question. You ask a question. And by asking questions, and quite often we don't have the question in our minds, but we just pray very quickly, and God gives us the question. God gives us the question. We ask the question. And then they checkmate themselves. They checkmate themselves. Because they don't... But the point is... Mankind, since the days of Adam and Eve, want to do wrong. And all they need is just a little push by Satan, with a little deception, with a little bit of truth mixed with a lie. And it's like putting a match onto dry grass that it just burns everywhere. And that's human nature. And that's the world we live in today because of the moral decline that we encounter. I mean, you know the story, for instance, later on when the Israelites left Egypt. And then Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And you know what happened afterwards? He came down, and what was happening? It says, they were going dancing naked. Naked. Well, that is symbolic of sin. They were just going wild. Brethren, we live in an age... where this scripture that I'm going to read next is so true that you, when you read it, you will say, that is what we live in today. And that scripture is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. In fact, Isaiah is amazing to read in today's context. But just read Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good Wow, don't we live in an age where people are calling evil good and good evil? That's where you and I live today. And who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Brethren, the world is upside down. This moral collapse is going everywhere. Things are just exploding. And brethren, you can see it from 10 years ago. If you look at 10 years ago and what is there today, things have escalated at a great trend. Imagine the next 10 years. But we live in what Christ described it as purely the beginning of sorrows. Look at Matthew 24, verse 8. Matthew 24, verse 8. Matthew 24, verse 8. It says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. When it says, nations shall rise against another, kingdom against kingdom, there'll be famines, pestilences. There was terrible diseases, and you can see that today. There are terrible diseases. And earthquakes, interesting, the word earthquakes is seismos, which was used, for instance, in Matthew 8, 24, which means a tempest. So, bad weather. There's earthquakes not just in the earth, but like earthquakes in the air. So it's that sort of tempest in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And as we read a bit further, in verse 37 through 39, it says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also be at the time of Christ's coming. Because they were eating and drinking, like it says, peace and safety, and then sudden destruction. You read that in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 3. Sudden destruction. That's what happened to Noah's day. Sudden destruction. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 3. And so it says, you know, verse 39. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So it will be like in the days of the Son of Man. The days of Christ's coming. And brethren, those in positions of authority don't want you to know the truth. Because they got their own agendas. Whether it's on this side or that side, they all have a little bit of truth, a little bit of a lie. That's what it is. Look at countries. Look, North Korea, China, all these, Iran. Even our own country, you see some political parties. I just cannot believe how some people are just speaking absolute rubbish. They do not love the truth. And what is it doing to us and to our children? It's conditioning us to accept a situation like this. Because in the end, what we do have is a spiritual warfare. That is the real thing. This warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against powers of wickedness. That's that so-called white horse of the first horseman of the apocalypse, which is white, which is basically just religions with false ideas. And they're all up saying, well, there's going to be a Messiah coming. I mean, the Buddhas are looking for the fifth Buddha. The Hindus are looking for the Krishna. The Islams are looking for the Grand Mahdi, if it's this Islam group. If it's that Islam group, it's looking for the 12th Imam. The Jews are looking for Messiah. New Ages are looking for Maitreya. Christians are looking for the return of Christ. Yes, Christians are looking for the return of Christ. But you know what? They'll think the Antichrist is Christ because they've got it upside down. Because Satan deceives the whole world. They think There's going to be a union of churches before Christ comes, and voila, finally all the churches are going to be united. Well, it'll be a false union of the false churches. Satan, in the end, tries to appear like an angel of light, like Christ. To the point that this false prophet will come, and as you read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, let's look at there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3, verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, let no one deceive you by any means, that the day, that's Christ's coming, will not come unless the falling away comes first, which I probably would guess that has happened already quite a few years ago. But anyway, and the man of sin is revealed. That is that false prophet, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all, and that is called God. Or that is worship. In other words, will be act as if he's God. He says, so that he sits. Note that he sits as God in the temple of God. He sits like God sits in the temple of God, acting like as if he was God. He sits as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Brethren, there's going to be a big deception. But you know what? The world is ripe for it, because the world is ready to receive lies. It's been conditioned to receive lies. So, as we look at things happening, there are many incredible developments that are to develop in front of our eyes in the years ahead. Incredible. Parallel with a decline in morality. So I ask a question. I ask a simple question. Now, please, I'm not setting up dates. Anyway, I'm not setting up dates. But let me ask a question. What if, I don't know when, but what if Christ would come within this decade? Are you ready? Am I ready? And I appreciate the sermon because it told us, are we growing in fruit? And that's what we need to be doing. We need to say, are we actually making progress? Are we actually growing? Look at Isaiah 58 verse 1. Isaiah 58 verse 1. Just cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, the house of Jacob, that's Israel, their sins. Brethren, that's our job. That's our job. Are we doing that through our godly example, by putting fruits in our lives, by supporting the church and the ministry so that this can be fulfilled? Or are we diluting the strength? We have to cry aloud and show my people their sins. That's our job. Brethren, there's going to be such difficult times ahead that Ezekiel says in chapter 9, verse 4 through 6, says, set a sign on the forehead of those people that sigh and cry for the weaknesses that are happening. Brethren, we cannot take a stance of self-righteousness and say, we are better than those people. Because you and I are only here for the grace of God. Because otherwise I'll be right there with you. Right there. I'm only here by the grace of God. So we have to cry and sigh and sympathize and empathize for people because they don't know better. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because Satan is destroying. That's why our job is to preach the gospel as a witness so that later on when it happens, they say, well, nobody told us. Well, he did. But there is a hope beyond that. But if I take these points together, what are we seeing is incredible events are going to happen very fast. What if Christ's coming is sooner than what you and I think? Are we ready? Are we doing what's the right thing? Are we bearing the right fruits? And that brings us to the point, are we renewing ourselves inside ourselves daily? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Even though our outward man is perishing, brethren, you and I in these last 10 years have perished a little bit more than previously. We're all a little older. But hopefully inside is different. Hopefully inside, as it says here, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Are we renewing ourselves inside, inwardly, day by day, and getting more of God's Holy Spirit, applying it more, exhibiting more of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit? And as we heard in the sermonette, going through those seven stages, steps of growing from faith to virtue, to knowledge, to self-control, to perseverance. In other words, just stages of growth, of bearing fruit, of godliness, of brotherly love, and of godly love. Are we going through that? Daily? You see, that scripture in 2 Peter, it ends by saying, if you do this, you'll never fall. If you do this, you will never fall. You know what that's saying? This way is your life insurance policy. Your eternal life insurance policy. If you do this, this is your eternal life insurance policy. You'll never fall. And it says, and so by doing this, you'll be given a great entrance into the kingdom of God. That's how you get into the kingdom of God, which is, quite correctly we heard, it's the goal. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness is the way. That's how Christ did. That's the way. That's the direction. The goal is seek you the kingdom. So, are we ready? Are we ready? Brethren, things are going to happen in the next decade that the world will not be the same. If you look, for instance, at some political debates, I think you can say that in a year's time it will not be the same. It's just will not be the same. It just is. So what must we do to renew ourselves daily. And here are a few simple points. I'm going to go through them briefly. But here are a few simple points. First, study God's word. Because thy word is the truth. Study God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15 through 19. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Of truth, not of lie, of truth. And really rightly dividing. Because there's many people dividing it incorrectly for their ulterior motives, for their agendas. And some of them, they don't even know the agenda because they being swayed by Satan. Shun profane and idle babblings. Stories that people say they profane and idle. For they will increase to more ungodliness. In other words, more lack of righteousness. And their message will spread like cancer. Cancer. It's an evil that will just spread like cancer. And at that time, there were already some people that were doing that, that have strayed concerning the truth. So, brethren, we have to have the solid foundation of God's word, as it says in verse 19. And the interesting here is, God knows those that are His. God can see your heart. I can't, but God can. And so, when times are difficult, when things are difficult, you know, add to your faith, your virtue, and all this knowledge, but the right knowledge, the truth, and then have perseverance to persevere. Because when things are difficult, you'll feel like throwing in the towel. Simple. You will feel like just saying, that's enough. But you know, God knows who are His. You are not in a battle against a person next to you that is kind of discouraging you. You're a battle for godly values, to be like Christ. And so if the person next to you is discouraging, tough. You just stay the course. Don't give up. Stay the course. Persevere till the end. You cannot get into the kingdom under the proverbial your mother's skirt. You got to get into the kingdom under your own commitment or your own effort and exercise of overcoming sin, like God told Cain right at the beginning. You, your responsibility is to rule over it. You and I have to rule over it. Secondly, tied to that, so the first, study the Bible, study God's word. Secondly, Matthew 4 verse 4 says, you are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You are to obey. You are to put it to practice. Not you, me, myself, us. God's word is a lamp. And you and I need that. And you know what? Acts 5:32 says, God gives His Holy Spirit to those that obey Him. You want more of God's Holy Spirit? He has the formula. Obey Him. You want more of God's Holy Spirit? Obey Him. There was a man that said, oh, teach me how to have more of your Spirit. And then what did Christ say? Well, gave him a parable. People kind of read that and don't get it. Because he says, well, there was this man that did, and he did this, and he did that. And he says, you're an unprofitable servant. You've just done what you should have done. What is Christ saying? For you to have more of God's Holy Spirit, you've got to go over and beyond the minimum requirement. The minimum requirement. You've got to excel. You've got to put the effort. You've got to obey. The third point, you've got to pray. You see, you've got to listen to God's word. You got to put it to practice. You know, it's meditate, put it to practice, and pray. Pray and watch. Look at Luke 21, verse 36. Luke 21, verse 36. Luke 21, 36. Watch, therefore, and pray. Oh, you watch CNN? No. I'm not saying it's because CNN or Sky News or whatever it is, or Fox News, whatever it is. No. You've got to read it in context. Because if you take back to, for instance, verse 34, it says, take heed to yourselves. In other words, watch yourselves. Watch me, myself, and I. Are we doing and living according to God's standards? Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with whatever, with wasteful time, dissipation, wasting time, whatever it is, with drunkenness, with the cares of this world, and then sudden destruction. Because peace, peace, I'm okay. Or in other words, I'm warm and I'm rich and increased with goods, and then comes sudden destruction because you love to see it. And that's the age we live in today. Because it'll come as a snare for everyone that dwells on the earth, says the endless God. Therefore, watch yourself. Therefore, watch yourself. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and pray always that you may be counted worthy. It's not saying, well, pray that I'll decide to make the right decision, I'm going to the place of safety. No. You probably won't have that decision. Because God will decide for you whether you are counted worthy or not. That's what it says. To escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, and to be, when Christ comes there, to be with Him. So yeah, it's not just kind of to save your skin in the days ahead. It's actually to stand with Christ when He comes back. To be in the first resurrection. Or to be changed at the coming, when Christ comes. So the third point is pray and watch yourself. And what do you watch yourself? You've got scriptures like Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, that says, take off the old man, put on the new man. There's a lot there to study about things that we need to change. To pray so that you and I are accounted worthy. As we heard in the sermonette, that we bear more fruit on these things. And number four, beware that there is a spirit trying to deceive you. Beware of deception. Because Satan is out there like a roaring lion, trying to destroy who he can. And how does he destroy? By lies. That's why it says, they did not receive the love of the truth. Because if you receive the love of the truth, you're not going to be swayed by these cheap lies. You're going to be discerning because you're studying the Bible and you're going to be discerning what's right and wrong and believing what God says is right and wrong. So, beware of deception. Oh, there's big deceptions out in the world. Big deceptions. You're saved by grace alone. Of course we're saved by grace, but not alone. Romans 2, I think, is about verse 13 that says, it's not just the hearers of the law, but those that practice, they will be justified. We got to be obeying. Well, then you got other people that says, oh, I want to know prophecy. I want to know when this happens, when that happens, the other happens, and you got these things on Facebook, this happened, they got itchy ears, and they just want to know about all these prophetic things, and they say, yeah, therefore it's Christ coming, and this and that. Brethren, prophecies will go. You read that in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, prophecies will go. Because prophecy is there to lead us to repentance. That's why there's prophecy. To lead us to repentance. If the nation would repent, these things would not come upon us. Regrettably, they will not. But prophecy is there to lead us to repentance. And then there's this other thing. Oh, I know this knowledge, and I know that knowledge, I know this. Knowledge puffs up. And so if you have all this knowledge and you're going around proclaiming all this biblical knowledge, be careful. Because it's kind of intellectualism. It's like Gnosticism in knowledge. But besides knowledge, there's something inside you that God looks at called the heart. God looks at the heart. So here we have four things I've mentioned so far. Study the Bible, obey, pray, and watch ourselves. Beware of deception that is going to come big time, big time. In other words, receive the love of the truth. And the fifth one that I want to mention today is put on the whole armor of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start reading from verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the armor of God so you're going to stand against the lies and the trickery and the deceptions of Satan. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. People are going to come to us with different untruths, etc. It's not them. It's a spirit stirring it up behind them, and they don't even know it. Because we are fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, verse 13, put on, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day which is coming. Could be this decade, brethren. I'm not setting dates, but I would not be surprised that we have that few number of years. Maybe a few more, but I would not be surprised. The Lord is not delaying His coming. So, stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? Truth. Truth. Because we live in a world of lies, deception. So, put around yourself truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, obeying and doing the right things. Righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So, walk along a way which is towards peace. Not a peace lover, but a peacemaker. It's two different things. Above all, take up the shield of faith, of absolute trusting in God, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts, you know, with all the doubts and questions that Satan will throw at you. Take up the helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? It's the hope that we have. You look at scriptures like 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8, says the helmet of salvation is the hope we have. The hope of what? Of our goal of being sons and daughters of God in the kingdom of God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the only offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Praying always. Back to praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in God's Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication. He was praying more with deep supplication for all the saints, for one another, and for me, and for the ministry, and for the church, so that the work may be done boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel to the world. And what is the mystery of the gospel? Why are we born? That we're going to be children of God. Keep that bright in our minds. So, brethren, are we ready for the events of this decade? Really, what I'm saying, brethren, we need to have a sense of urgency. Time is short. I don't know how long, but I put a question. What if it is only in a few years? Are we doing what we can to be ready? So we need to study. We need to obey and live by every word. We need to be praying that we are watching ourselves, so that God will then give us more of His Spirit because we are obeying. We need to put on that new man. Then we need to be careful of lies, because we drinking in of God's Word, so we know the truth. So we being aware of lies, the deceptions of Satan. And then we need the armor of God, which wraps around with truth first, and then the hope of God and all that. Brethren, we got to live our own lives, not a fantasy of lies like this world is living with games and things like that, and virtual games and virtual reality and whatever it is. Because this is not a game. This is not a game. It's our life, our eternal life. And if Christ is coming sooner than what many may believe, are we ready?